Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8, for the message this morning. I want to speak to you from a very familiar story, a very familiar passage that I trust will be a blessing and a help to you this morning. Acts chapter 8, and I'll begin reading in verse 26, and we will read the story of Philip approaching the Ethiopian eunuch and winning him to Christ. And we'll start reading in verse 26. So you follow along in your Bible as I read the story and then the message. Let's begin in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now there is so much in that verse. That little verse right there just reveals a ton of information that is helpful in understanding this story and then what happened here. You will notice that this man was the secretary of the treasury for the king or for the queen of Ethiopia. In other words, he is a very important individual. He has a great deal of wealth. He has a great deal of respect. He has a great deal of trust that he has been given such an important job. And you will also notice that he was on his way home. You say, well, where had he been? Well, he had been in Jerusalem. He had been in Jerusalem. He was there to find the truth. He's looking for the truth. And I'll say more about that in a moment, but he is now on his way home. And he is on the way that leads from Jerusalem, the highway that went down along the Gaza area, and along the Mediterranean and goes down and into Africa from that route. It was a very important highway. It was the route that went from Asia and from the Middle East all the way down into the northern part of Africa. So that's where this man is when he hooks up with Philip. Now, if you look at verse 28, it says that he had come to Jerusalem to worship, but was returning. He is now going home. And the Bible says that on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, again, important. While he was in Jerusalem, with his wealth, he was able to purchase a copy of the scroll of Isaiah. 740 years old. He buys a 740-year-old copy of the prophet. Amazing, huh? And he's reading that. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. He's an Ethiopian and he does not speak Hebrew. True. So that tells you that he had been in Jerusalem long enough to learn the language. You with me? I tell you, this man is serious. He's looking for the truth. He is not just fiddling around here. He's not just playing church. He's looking for the truth. And he bought a copy of Isaiah, stayed in town long enough to learn how to read it, and now he's on his way home reading. And verse 30, and Philip, or verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Folks, can I tell you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? And this man is reading the Bible. Do you understand what you're reading? He said, verse 31, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now watch this. In verse 32, it just so happens. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah. But it just so happens that the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation and judgment was his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? You see, it just so happened when the eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, where Isaiah was telling us about the coming suffering servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when Philip showed up. Do you understand what you're reading, sir? He said, no, I don't. How can I except some man should guide me? And Philip said, well, I can guide you. So he got up in the chariot and explained to him the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Wow. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he, Philip, commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Probably the Mediterranean Sea. That's the only water down there. It's desert. And the highway goes right along the coast. And they went into the Mediterranean, and Philip baptized him. Amazing. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, the eunuch, went on his way, finish it, rejoicing. Yeah, when you get saved, you're happy about it. When you find what you're looking for, you're happy about it. All right, let's pray. And then I want to speak to you this morning on Philip and the Ethiopian. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. I pray you'll bless this now to our hearts. Help me as I speak. I need your blessing. I need you to help me this morning. So, Father, bless. Fill me with your Spirit. And give us all ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. I just pray that the message will come across clear, that we will see the amazing thing that was done here, and especially see the heart of our God, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So bless us now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. This is such a wonderful testimony about a faithful soul winner, a man of God who was willing to do anything that his master needed done, and a lost sinner who was desperately trying to find the truth. And one reason why I like this story so much is because it ends well. This ends well. There's just no other way about it. It has such a happy ending. The two men in our story were total strangers. One, a Jewish Christian, and the other, a high-ranking official in the African nation of Ethiopia. One probably didn't have two dimes to rub together, or two shekels, as the case may have been. Poor old Philip, he probably was as broke as he could be. But the other fella had the wealth of an entire empire, an entire kingdom at his disposal. One man was a statesman, and the other was a preacher. Again, as vastly different as it is possible for two people to be. Who would have ever thought that these two men should end up meeting one another? And yet when they did meet, the lasting impact of that meeting has become one of the richest testimonies of a man getting saved that the New Testament church has ever produced. Now there are three major players in this story. There are three major persons that I want to discuss with you this morning. There is, of course, Philip, and there is, of course, the Ethiopian, but then there is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot read this story without seeing the Holy Spirit doing all the work behind the scenes. There is the Holy Spirit bringing this unexpected duo together. There is the Holy Spirit guiding and empowering and opening the heart of this lost man who was looking for the truth of God. So let's take each of these three this morning and examine each one. Pay close attention to the description and the examination that I'm about to give you, and then notice when we get to the third person, to the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit just puts these two men together in such an amazing fashion. First of all, let's examine the Ethiopian. What do we know about this fellow? Well, we know that he was a very high-ranking government official in his country. There are some folks who feel that he might have been born in Ethiopia to Jewish parents. But in light of the whole story, I kind of doubt that that was the case. To hold such a high and trusted office would never be granted to anyone except a person who was a native son of the land. But this man was a high-ranking official in the service of his queen. His appointment was the equivalent of being the Secretary of the Treasury here in the United States of America. The man who was assigned to manage the finances of his kingdom. He was somewhere along the way in his life, somewhere in his journey through life, he was introduced to Judaism. Now, just how this happened, I do not know. The Bible does not explain it to us, but somewhere along the way, somebody told him about Judaism and told him about Jerusalem and told him about the temple and told him about the scrolls, the Bible, and told him about the prophets of the Old Testament. Maybe he was so disappointed by the religion in his own land and dealing with businessmen who came the route that brought them through Jerusalem, maybe discussing religion one day with one of these caravan people, they told him about the city of Jerusalem. Maybe when he was complaining that he did not feel satisfied with his own religion asked the caravan worker, tell me about other places you've seen and tell me about their religion. And they immediately said, well, there's a city in Israel. It's called Jerusalem. And they have a temple. And they have all of these sacred scrolls, these writings. And maybe he thought, you know, I think I should go and check this out and see if I can find the answers to the questions that have been on my heart. So, folks, for him to go to Jerusalem looking for answers, I'm telling you, this man is serious about finding out the truth. Would you agree? He left his home, took a leave of absence. You could not just go to the capital and hop on an airplane and zip over to the Tel Aviv airport. No, it took weeks to get from Ethiopia across the desert, maybe even months to get from Ethiopia over to the city of Jerusalem. Royalty riding in a caravan of security and attendants. No doubt it would have taken months and it would have cost a fortune. But that shows us how seriously this man was. He traveled across the Sahara all the way to Jerusalem. So this man is serious about finding the truth, and evidently money was no object at all. And he obviously spent a great deal of time in Jerusalem in his search. If you will look at verse 30, you will see that while on his way home, he is reading a copy of the scroll of Isaiah that he had purchased while he was in Jerusalem. If you speak to any missionary family who leaves America and goes to a foreign field, they will tell you that it will take 2 to 3 to 4 years to adapt to a foreign culture and to learn the language. And this scroll was not written in this man's Ethiopian language. It was written in Hebrew. So the Ethiopian was in Jerusalem. That tells us he was in Jerusalem long enough to learn Hebrew, because on his way home, the Bible says he was reading the scroll out loud. And also notice that even though he went to Jerusalem and even though he learned the language, no doubt spent a bundle of money on this manuscript of Isaiah, he was coming away from Jerusalem disappointed without having found what he was looking for. So that's the Ethiopian. Now, secondly, I want us to look at Philip, the evangelist. We've looked at the Ethiopian. Now let's look at the evangelist. Philip is an interesting individual, and he is often found being greatly used of God in the Bible. We first find him in the 6th chapter of this book as a member being chosen to serve on the deacon board of the church. He was chosen to help handle the material affairs of the church. He waited on tables. He proportioned the meals to the saints. And evidently, faithful in that capacity, the Lord broadened his ministry opportunities. And when we read his story here, we find him in Samaria holding an evangelistic meeting, a very successful evangelistic meeting, and many folks were coming to know Christ as their Savior. After the death of Stephen in the previous chapter, the Jews ramped up their persecution against the church, and this persecution caused the church to spread its wings and do what the Lord Jesus had told them to do when he gave the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the Spirit of God sent Philip from this successful meeting in Samaria, just north of Jerusalem, down into the desert by Gaza to speak to just one man. Now, I can imagine that Philip stood there wondering to himself, well, Lord, you know, I've been in Samaria preaching to great crowds and folks are getting saved here in Samaria, and you want me to go down into the desert and speak to just one person? And I'm sure that Philip probably wondered right here, am I hearing the Lord correctly? But notice that Philip believed God enough to obey what the Spirit of God had said to him. Now, folks, listen, you talk about a divine appointment, this is it. I told that boy on the airplane after he got saved about our flight being canceled. And he smiled from ear to ear. Now, he had already trusted Christ. And he smiled from ear to ear. And I looked at him and I said, do you think that the Lord could have canceled our flight to Paris to put me on the flight to Frankfurt so that I could sit right beside of you and tell you how you could trust Jesus as your Savior? Oh, he smiled from ear to ear. He was so happy when he said, that could be. That could be. Well, this was a divine appointment if there ever was one. Think about it. The only thing Philip had to go on was a direction. Isn't that something? That's all he had was a direction. The Spirit of God told him, go south on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's all he had. Hey, folks, he didn't have a visitor's card. He didn't have an address. He didn't even have a name. All he had was a direction. Go south. Go down on the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. But when he did, he saw a chariot and he said to himself, this has to be the man that I'm to see. Now look at that 30th verse. The Bible says Philip ran to the Ethiopian's chariot. Now I wondered as I read that, why did he run? Was he in that big of a hurry to talk to this man? Was he that eager to do the will of God and lead this man to Christ? I don't know why he ran to catch up with the chariot. I kind of wonder if maybe he might have spotted it and said to himself, okay, it's now or never, and as crazy as this is, if I don't go and do this right now, I'm never going to do it at all. And so he ran to the chariot. I know that sometimes that's been my experience. And sometimes in situations like that, whatever you're going to do, you've got to do it quickly. But who else could this chariot belong to except the man that the Lord sent Philip into the desert to find? I mean, there was nobody else out there. So it had to be the person whom the Lord sent him to see. And the Spirit of God had told him, this is the man. Go see him. Have you ever had the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart and whisper to your soul that you should share the gospel with someone else? You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I told that boy on the airplane, I said, we have this little thing that we talk about in our church. We call it divine appointments. And I said, I believe that you were here and I was here by divine appointment. It was God who put you here and it was God who put me beside you. I was supposed to be on another plane sitting with my legs stretched out, not my knees up under my chin. I was supposed to be going to Paris. Now I'm going to Frankfurt. It must have been by divine appointment that God sent me here to tell you about the Lord Jesus. Oh, he was elated and said, thank you, sir. Thank you for telling me about the Lord. Now, the Lord just needs somebody who is willing to speak up for him and share the gospel. So we've got the eunuch and we've got the evangelist, But number three, I want us to lastly look at how the Spirit draws this man to Christ. See what the Spirit does. Look at the Holy Spirit's role here. Here is this man looking for the truth. Evidently, his religion that he was taught as a child did not bring satisfaction to his soul. How did it happen that he ended up in Jerusalem? That we do not know. But I can see him as the nation's treasurer sitting with a merchant who has just delivered goods to his queen. And he says to the merchant, "Sir, you have traveled the known world. Tell me about the places you have seen." And one thing leads to another. And the traveler tells the treasurer about Jerusalem and about the sacred text of the Bible and the words of the prophets. And so looking for the truth, this man makes his journey to Jerusalem. He is now on his way home. And in our text, he is reading a copy of the book of Isaiah that he has purchased in Jerusalem. He is reading aloud. Philip runs alongside the chariot and he can hear him reading. So here's his opening line. He says to the man in the chariot, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Folks, again, you talk about a divine appointment. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah, but it just so happens when Philip catches up to the chariot, the man just happens to be at chapter 53 where the evangelist can share the gospel with him. And of course, Philip knew Isaiah 53 like the back of his hand. You say, "Well, that was quite a coincidence." No, that is God loving this man who is looking for the truth and about ready to reveal it to him so that he can find what he's been looking for. That's what this is. Isaiah 53 was the perfect place for Philip to preach the gospel to him. This is the passage that speaks of Christ vicariously taking our place on the cross. This is the place where the prophet tells us that Jesus was coming, and when he came, he was going to take our sin upon himself, be despised and rejected of men, to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and that when the world looked upon him and saw him, they could not even recognize that he was a man. And why would he do that? To save you and me. That's why. And in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. Now, folks, notice, Philip did not preach unto him his denomination. He did not preach unto him his pet doctrine. He did not preach unto him his church. He did not preach unto him the 5 points of Calvinism. Amen. He did not preach unto him his own little pet doctrines. No, sir. He preached unto him Jesus. And the Ethiopian listened, and he prayed, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know that he got saved?" I know he got saved because after he got saved, he asked if he could be baptized. It is a good evidence that a man is saved when he wants to identify with the Lord Jesus by being obedient to the Lord in believer's baptism. And Luke, our author here, tells us that they stopped the chariot and they both went down into the water, both of them into the water. I think that's a pretty clear indication that Philip took the man into the Mediterranean and baptized him by immersion. Why else would Luke tell us that they both went into the water? You see the word baptized there? It means to immerse. To immerse. Watch. To immerse under the water. To immerse in the water. The word is a transliteration from the Greek. The word is, in the Greek, is baptizo. And in English, it's simply baptize. And it means to immerse. It is not sprinkleizo. Amen. It is the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we get baptized as identification that we are a believer in the Lord. And that's why Philip told him in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And then I want you to look at verse 39. Luke tells us an amazing little bit of information about this man that just thrills my soul. And it is, to me, a clear indication that the man was saved. Because it says that Philip left and this man went on his way rejoicing. Let me tell you something, folks. When you've been searching for the truth and you have tried this and you have tried that and you've tried to find the truth through church and have been able to find it, and you try to find the truth through religion and you haven't been able to find it, and you've tried through learning and through education and through philosophy and through education, and there is still this void and this emptiness in your soul, and then someone takes the Bible and shows you the simple truth of the gospel and you believe in the Lord, let me tell you something, folks, it'll make you happy. I know it made me happy when I got saved. I have spoken to so many people who have looked here and then looked there, and they've tried this church and they've tried that movement and then this and then that. But when you come to Jesus and trust Him, it will cause you to rejoice and never be the same again. Now think of this, and I'm done. Imagine. What do you think happened to this Ethiopian who was on his way home? Do you think he went back to Ethiopia and just went back to work and never told a single soul what had happened to him on the way home? I doubt that seriously. I can imagine, I can see him, he comes back to work the next day. He just gets home and he goes back to work. He walks in the office and everybody, oh man, we have missed you. Look here, 2.5 years you've been gone. 3 years you've been gone. Welcome home. Tell me, how was Israel? What happened to you in Israel? Did you find what you were looking for? And he says, folks, come here, gather around. And he reaches in his bag and he pulls out the scroll of Isaiah. And by now it just automatically opens to Isaiah 53. And with a captive audience, he says, boys, let me tell you about what I found out. And I dare say he preached unto them Jesus exactly the way Philip had preached it unto him at Gaza. And you want to hear an interesting thing? Today, 2,000 years later, there is a strong Christian church in Ethiopia. And I guarantee you, when we all get to heaven, we're going to be able to trace that back and see that that church started with this old boy, they got saved on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. For he went back home armed with the gospel. He went home armed with the word of God. And I'll guarantee you, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to look back and see that that church in Ethiopia started with this man's testimony about Jesus. Amazing, huh? Amazing. You got the eunuch, you've got the evangelist, and you've got the evangelized. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that draws us to Christ.